Amen. Amen. Well, what a joy it is today for the waters of baptism to be stirred. And we're at the end of our looking at the Lord's Prayer. And before we start a new sermon series, I thought today is a great day to talk about baptism and what it is, why, how, all of the questions that kind of surround baptism, specifically because today Joseph was baptized. Next Sunday, Isaac, another child in our church, will be baptized. And man, it's exciting what the Lord is doing. And so this morning, we're just going to jump in and really learn a little bit more about baptism together from the Bible, what Jesus has put in place for us. So we'll be in several places this morning, but I want us to see a couple of things about baptism and why we do it. The first one is going to be that it's ordained by Jesus. He told us to do it, so we do it. The next thing is that we're going to see baptism is for people who have come to faith in Jesus. And so that'll be what we look at next. And then finally, we're going to look at the symbol. What's actually, what is the baptism showing us? And so it's going to look at us uniting ourselves in Christ and with others in the church. So it says it like this. Baptism is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior, the believer's death to sin, the burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. But where does this idea of baptism begin? In the Bible, you won't see in the Old Testament the word baptism. But in the New Testament, John the Baptist, as we know him, John the Baptist is in the wilderness in the book of Matthew, and he's calling people to come out to him. And mind you, he is dressed very oddly, and he's eating locusts, all right? So he's a little crazy, at least you look on the outward. But he's calling people to repent of their sins and then to be baptized. And that's where Jesus finds John the Baptist. He walks up, and so when John the Baptist sees Jesus, John the Baptist is thinking, wow, Jesus is here and he's going to baptize me. But instead, Jesus looks at John the Baptist and he says, okay, John, I need you to baptize me. And you can imagine John's face like, me? Wait a minute, right? But John knew that he needed to obey Jesus, and so he did that. What we know from the Old Testament is that there are Levitical laws of cleansing that the priest would go through. And in those Levitical laws, they would actually have to bathe almost fully in order to go into the temple. There are also other rituals that are in place in the Old Testament. One of the Hebrew word that may be closest to baptism is the mikvah, or multiple, mikvot, but mikvah. And it is a ritual bathing to cleanse yourself, however the law tells you to do that. And so if you were a woman that needed to be clean, you would go through a purifying, cleansing bath, all right? So when John the Baptist shows up in the New Testament, he's making a connection that these people that are coming to him need to repent and be purified, as the law would say. But Jesus comes, and Jesus says, I need to be baptized by you, right? And so why would Jesus need to be baptized? Have you ever thought about that? He's sinless, he's perfect, he's fully God, and yet fully man. And he says, John, I need you to baptize me. Well, Jesus answers it. He says, to fulfill all righteousness. And so when Jesus is baptized, the heavens open up, and God says, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. At whatever level, Jesus was told by God to be baptized, and he obeyed God, right? That's number one. He obeyed God. We also see that even as John the Baptist sees Jesus the next day after he has been baptized, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world, right? And so we have Jesus being baptized maybe as that purification to be set aside as a sacrificial lamb. Maybe Jesus being baptized also fulfills the Levitical law of being a priest to go into the high place to sacrifice the offering, which would be himself, right, as Hebrews would say. But to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus was baptized. And so the base for us this morning, we baptize, number one, because Jesus told us to do it. All right? It is ordained by Jesus. Let's look. These are Jesus' last words to his disciples here in this gospel. And it says this. Of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus tells his disciples to go, and not only just to go, but to teach people about Jesus, but also to, did you see the word? Baptize them. Baptize them. Okay, so how many of you in elementary school listened to everything your parents told you to do? 100%? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yep. Good, good. Some honesty up in the front row. There you go, Adam. I like that. All right, let's take another. Maybe let's take our parents out of it. Maybe at school, did you always listen and obey to the teachers in your school? Yeah, Olinda did. Okay, all right. All right. That's a different lesson on lying. But I love you, Miss Linda. We obey because someone has authority over us, okay? We all know we're probably going to go home today and speed on the way home, but you're not going to do that, right? You're not going to speed up through the yellow light. But the authority that the state of Texas has over the road system that gives your driver's license, you sign your name, you're under their authority for those things. For Jesus, we obey him because in verse 18 is attached to what we just read. Verse 18 says this, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has been given all of the power and authority. As we prayed in the last couple of weeks, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God created everything. He has all the authority. And in Jesus Christ, all of that authority has been given to him so that whatever he tells you to do, you should do it. All right, so the word ordinance, the way we call baptism an ordinance of our church, it's been ordained by Jesus. Literally, he has the authority to tell us what to do, and we go do it. All right, so that at a baseline, we should baptize people because Jesus told us to do it. All right, that's what we see here in Matthew chapter 18. But for us as Long Branch Community Baptist Church, we have our name Baptist because we baptize by immersion. Joseph was in the water, he went down into the water, and we came back up. We immerse people in baptism, all right? And so historically, I just want to walk you through a little history of the early church. Are you ready? In the early church, baptism was primarily and most often done, because this is what the scripture tells us, by immersion. And so that's what the Bible said to do. That's what the early church did. You can go back and look at early church drawings, right, of what baptisms looked like. And we have changed a few practices, but in all of these pictures, you would have the person being baptized next to the person baptizing. The only difference that we change now, we put on white robes. They did it naked, all right? So we don't do that. Joseph didn't have to be naked today. Amen? Amen. All right, we learned last week you say amen, okay? But we don't do that, right? But they did it to show the imagery of putting on Christ, okay? So sometimes baptism for the early church would take up to a year, right? They would do a whole process of teaching. But what we see over and over in the early church is that baptism was understood to be by immersion, by someone who had come to faith in Jesus, all right? So they came to know Jesus, and then they were baptized by immersion. It wasn't until about the 5th century that the influence of infant baptism came about, and most of it was because they could not find enough water to baptize someone. And so they began saying, you know what, it's easier to sprinkle. Now, I will tell you that's not what the Bible says. We'll look here in a second at Romans, and we'll look at an early church example in Acts. But infant baptism is too disassociated with what you believe, and we'll see that in a second. We believe what has happened in our heart first, and then we're baptized by immersion. Infant baptism flips it. It says, oh, you need to be baptized so that you'll believe. And that's not, we as Baptists do not hold to that. We hold to baptism by immersion. Flip over with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It says this in verse 2, or verse 1. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We'll stop right there. The word baptize in Greek, baptizo, literally means to be immersed, to go down and to come up out of water. And here we have what Paul is showing us. With that image of being in the water is literally a symbol of being buried, going under the water, and rising again out of the water. This morning, we could have put Joseph in a grave outside, dug it up, put him in there, put dirt on top of him, and hope he was still breathing when we pulled him out. But that's not the image that Jesus gave us. That's not the symbol that was given to us. It was baptism. But that's exactly what it means, that we have been buried with Christ and we have been risen again. But immersion is what that word points us to. But to give us a real-life example of the early church and being baptized by immersion, in the book of Acts, Philip is told to go and talk to a eunuch. And as he goes and talks to this eunuch, he takes the Old Testament, the scripture he's reading, and points to Jesus. The eunuch comes to believe in Jesus, and he says, I want to be baptized now. Let's do this. And so in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, it says, he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Very good phrase, into the water. Philip didn't go grab a cup of water and sprinkle him, okay? He went into the water with the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, continuing, he says, and when they came up out of the water, so coming out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Baptism by immersion is an outward expression and a step of obedience in believing and following Jesus. I'll say it again. Baptism is an outward step of obedience for a follower of Jesus. It shows what has already happened on the inside. Augustine said it this way. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. This morning, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Your left hand, that is. Your left hand, sorry. Left hand. And on that left hand, how many of you brought your wedding ring today? Just checking. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. And so your ring. Okay, you put your hand down. Your ring, okay? This morning, any of your rings have special powers? Anybody? No? Not Lord of the Rings? Anybody? No? Okay. So not Lord of the Rings, okay? Everybody's wedding ring is just a piece of metal. Maybe it's beautiful. Maybe whatever. It has a story, sure. But it's a symbol of your wedding day, right? When you said, I do, and you covenanted to be with your spouse between now and eternity, and you were committed, but at the end of the day, your ring is not going to keep you married to your spouse, right? That's not its superpower. It's a symbol that points to your commitment to your spouse. In the same way, we have baptism, and it's been given to us as a symbol to show our commitment to Jesus. An act of obedience to follow him wherever he may call us to go and whatever he may call us to do. So no Lord of the Rings this morning. And which means the next thing, if Jesus has ordained it, then the question is who should be baptized, right? Because if we're just into baptizing people, we can make a line and we'll just baptize over and over again, right? Just to see how many we can get wet. But that's not what we're after. Here at Long Branch, we see that in the Bible that it is specifically baptism is for those that have believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We see this example in Colossians 2, verse 12. Paul writes, having been buried with him in baptism, phrase we've already heard, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. There's two words that are very important in what Paul wrote. That we see this buried with Christ in baptism, raised, but we are raised through faith. We are raised through faith. So it is about our faith in Jesus that is most important in being baptized. I was in fifth grade when I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I grew up in church, and I was the kid in Sunday school. You wanted on your trivia team, you know, I knew all the answers. I was it, you know. Books of the Bible, man, Bible drill, right? I was ready. And it wasn't until fifth grade, going to sleep one night, I said, I can't go to sleep. I could not go to sleep. The sin in my life was just overwhelming me. And it was that night that I confessed and believed that Jesus was my Lord and Savior. It was helpful that I knew the things that the Scripture told me to do, to ask for forgiveness, for Him to be my Savior. But it wasn't until 2 years later that I took the plunge in baptism. And it was 2 years later because, number one, I didn't want to walk the aisle to go talk to the pastor. And my mom worked for the church, all right? Like, this is like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And so through faith, it's important that we come to Jesus and we are baptized after we believe in Jesus. But I share my story because your story may be completely different. And that is awesome. There was a guy in Fargo. His name is Caleb. He was like 18, 19 when he started interacting with us, and he came to know Jesus as his Savior. And so, of course, as the pastor, I'm like, all right, let's get you baptized. And he's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, but that's what the Bible says. We should do it. You know, so I'm going to all these passages we just read, like, hey, it says this, it says this. And I can't tell you, it was something that he was reading on his own, that he got to the point where Jesus told his disciples, let the dead bury their dead. And he came to me, he said, that verse led me to, I need to get baptized. I'm like, what? Okay, I know you believe in Jesus, let's baptize you. Everybody's decision to follow Jesus, to believe in him, and also to be baptized and obey, it's a different story. Crystal, as she grew up, she was baptized as a baby, as a Lutheran, and it wasn't until middle school that she began interacting with Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. And in middle school, she committed her life to follow Jesus. She believed. But then, as good ministers do, we began teaching about baptism, and she heard this phrase, baptism does not save you. And so you know what she understood? Then it doesn't matter. We're good. We're good. And so she kind of lived with, well, I believe in Jesus. I was baptized as a baby, so if it doesn't matter, then I'm good. I'm good. All right? And so it wasn't until junior year in high school that she came to the point that she says, you know what? I need to obey what Jesus has told me to do. That, and it was getting close to the turn of Y2K, and she was like, I don't want to be left behind for this. Let's do this. All right? Everybody's story of coming to be baptized is different because it comes down to not only you believing in Jesus, but wanting to obey Jesus. All right? So everybody will be different. I love Joseph because he really just wanted to take the Lord's Supper at first for a while. I mean, the Poteets will tell you, man, he just wanted to take the Lord's Supper. But it was awesome to hear him verbalize, I want to follow Jesus because I've repented and I'll follow him even unto death. Right? Like, I mean, drop the mic, you know, let's go home. Your story may be different, but the truth about baptism, that it is through faith that it's not magical. It does not save you. That is correct. We'll drain it today. It doesn't save you. But it is a special moment that follows belief in Jesus. It is an obedient moment for us following Jesus. And so baptism, this morning, I can tell you this. Baptism that precedes your faith in Jesus. So if you came to know Jesus, but you were baptized younger than that or before that, I would tell you that to be obedient, your baptism would follow when you came to know Jesus. Okay? So this morning could be a moment for you to go, okay, I'm ready. I want to be baptized because I believed, but I was baptized as a kid or I was baptized before I came to faith. Man, let's stir those waters again. Let's baptize. And I think you asked Crystal, she walked around with maybe some shame of like, well, I mean, I've waited so long now. It feels weird because all my friends think I'm baptized. It's okay. When you get baptized, people get excited, all right? There's no shame involved. No shame. So if that's you today, maybe today's the day you say, I want to be baptized. To be baptized after you have confessed your faith in Jesus. Lastly, let's talk about the symbol of baptism. The symbol of baptism is that we have been united with Jesus, and we have been united with the church. We are united with Jesus. Spurgeon, a great pastor, said this. He says, let me be buried in baptism that I may show to all around that I believe I was one with my Lord in his death and burial for sin. That I believe. The scripture is going to make clear that we are in Jesus. But the really distinction is that do you truly believe it? Do you truly believe it? Because baptism shows to all around that you truly believe what the Bible says about Jesus. As Joseph said this morning, I want to tell everybody about him. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. And we are telling people that we are united with him. Back in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says this. I'll read it again. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, place. We are united with Christ. When you come to believe in but he unites you with Jesus. And if I can just explain, that's hard to explain. Christ. We are in Christ. If you just look in the New Testament, Paul was obsessed with this reality of being in Christ, with Christ. Just a few examples in Ephesians 2:10, we are in Christ. Galatians, we are crucified with Christ. In Colossians, we are buried with him. Again, in Romans, we are baptized into Christ and his death. We are united with him in Romans 6. And we are seated in heavenly places, as it says in Ephesians. Christ is formed in us. He dwells in our hearts. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in him. The church is one flesh. Believers gain Christ and are found in him. And if you just go on, in Christ, Paul says we are justified. In Christ, we are glorified. In Christ, we're sanctified. We are called, made alive, created anew, adopted. When you come to believe in Jesus as your Lord, it transcends our finite understanding. That the crucified, resurrected, incarnate person of Christ is in us, with us. And there is no better news than that. Right? So when we baptize someone, it's exciting. Because we see someone who is declaring to the world, I believe that to be true about Jesus, and it's not something abstract. I truly believe it, and I'm ready to follow that. J.I. Packer calls baptism the gospel in water. It's the message of Jesus in water. It's a sermon, and it's allowing us to experience our bodies the truth that we are immersed forever into Christ Jesus. So Joseph was baptized today, but it's a symbol that forever he will be baptized in Christ forever. That's an amen moment. That's an amen moment. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Baptism is not a magical ritual. Okay, so we're not just doing magical things. We are doing special things that Jesus has told us to do. And this special moment in the life of Joseph this morning, Isaac next week, for you when you were baptized, was not just about you to experience that moment. There's a reason why several of you are here today, because you are supporting Joseph. But more than that, as a church, Long Branch, when someone is baptized, man, it's a celebration for us as a church. We are united together in seeing people come to know Jesus and obey him. And so it's a uniting moment, right? It's the gospel in water. It's what we believe. And so when we think about when someone gets baptized, what's our response, right? What's our response? It should be celebration. It should be clapping, man. There should be amens, right? We should party more for that than the Super Bowl, right? Winning the Super Bowl with not the Super Bowl with footballs. We did a chili cook-off. So instead of just winning something like that, right? Fall festival, like... The moment that should be most exciting in our church is when someone comes to know Jesus and when they are being baptized. Followed by the Lord's Supper, all right? Like, obviously, Jesus has given us these two ordinances, these two practices that we should do regularly. And so we should find ourselves celebrating. And so, like, I mean, we could put Joseph on our shoulders and pump him up, but really it's not about Joseph. It's about Jesus accomplishing what he set out to do in this church. It also unites us because we are on mission doing what Jesus has told us to do, making a legacy of faith that is built all the way back to Jesus when he baptized his disciples and those disciples. Like, we are joining in the mission of the church here on earth. We are making disciples. Baptism is obedience, right? So we get excited that we are united together by being obedient to what Jesus has called us. But baptism is also a reminder for us. A reminder for us that we need unity in the gospel together. Just like next week, we're going to practice the Lord's Supper together. And the reminder of baptism, even if we are not in the water, you can remember the time that you stood in the water and you repented of your sins. Before that, you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have no more standing than I do or anyone else in the world, because we are all sinful and fall short of the glory of God, and we need salvation in Jesus. And so when we see someone get baptized, it puts us back down on the same playing field. When Joseph came in the water, he was my brother in Christ, just as much as I am a follower of Christ, just as much as you are. And so when you think back to your special day of following Jesus and being baptized, man, it unites us because it reminds us of the gospel. Next week when we do the Lord's Supper, it unites us because we are all on the same playing field. Not one of us deserves it more than the next, only because of Jesus Christ. It unites us. The message of baptism is about God receiving the glory. And so we are united with him in Jesus. We are united together as the church as it displays the gospel. This morning, as we think about how to respond to this awesome morning, right? Baptism. This morning maybe is a time for you to say, I'm ready to be baptized. I need to be obedient and follow Jesus. Maybe this morning you're ready to celebrate with Joseph. Maybe celebrate next week with Isaac. Whatever it is, when the waters are stirred, maybe it's a commitment to celebrate. Maybe this morning we are committing to pray for more baptisms in the next year, to see our church be a disciple-making church that continues to share the gospel, and not just see water stirred, but to see people following Jesus and being obedient. Whatever it is this morning, I'd ask you to respond. I'll be up front during this next song, and if that's you, please come talk to me. And if it's you that you're like me, I'm not walking down front, talk to me afterwards. That's okay too. That is perfectly fine. Whatever your decision is this morning, please come. I'll be up front. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving this sermon in water, the gospel message loud and clear, that as we are baptized, we are buried with Christ and raised to walk a new life. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. I pray right now for Joseph, that the Holy Spirit would continue to help him, as Psalm 1 says, to be a tree planted by the stream of water, a healthy, growing faith. And I pray that for all of us today, that as we reflect on maybe when we were baptized, as we think about maybe right now committing to be baptized, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do its work in our life and help us as Long Branch Community Baptist Church make disciples of all nations and to teach about you, but most importantly, help us to be obedient to see others follow you in believers' baptism. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.